In this week's Parsha, we continue the journey of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim all the way to Eretz Yisrael. We left Mitzrayim, we witnessed the miracles, we were introduced as a nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to His Hashgacha in this world. We received the Torah, we received a national job to bring Kedusha to the world, to bring God's name to the world. We received the Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah Shebichtav. We received mitzvot bein Adam lamakom. We received mitzvot bein Adam lachaveiro. We received the mandate at the end of last week's parsha, v'anshei kodesh tihiyun li. We have to be people who are individually kadosh, people who individually bring kedusha to the world, but we also have to bring kedusha into the world on a national level, and that we hear about and learn about and are commanded v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha and for the next five parshiot, we receive the mitzvot related to building the mishkan, the portable Beit HaMikdash that is going to accompany us in our journey in the desert. It's going to accompany us in some of our journey in Eretz Yisrael, all the way up until the building of the first Beit HaMikdash, unfortunately, which was destroyed. Second Beit HaMikdash, which also was unfortunately destroyed. And Emir Tzashem, we will see Bimheira V'Yameinu, the rebuilding of that Mikdash in Yerushalayim, Bimheira V'Yameinu. In this week's parsha, as mentioned, we begin hearing about this mikdash. We begin hearing about the kelim. We begin hearing about the structure. In next week's parsha, we're going to be hearing about the people that work in the mikdash, the kohanim and the begadim and all the kelim that they're going to use in the kedusha that they receive as individuals to be discussed next week. The very first kli, the center of the Beit HaMikdash, the center of the Mishkan, is the Aron Kodesh. The Torah tells us in our parsha in Perek Chafhei, beginning in Pasuk Yud, V'yasu Aron Atzei Shitim, Amataim V'chetzi Arko, V'ama V'chetzi Rochbo, V'ama V'chetzi Komato. So many beautiful Divrei Torah, so much Torah that's talked about the Aron Kodesh and the symbolism of the way it was built, and the gold inside and the gold outside, and the badim always on the aron, and the, here we just read a moment ago how the half shiurim, ama v'chetzi arko, ama v'chetzi rochbo, one and a half, not one full, not two full, but one and a half, etc. I'd like to focus on one specific aspect of the Aron Kodesh and how it relates in so many ways to the Mikdash Bichlal. And that is in our parsha again, Perek Chafhei, and this time though we're going to begin with Pasuk Yud Chet. On this Aron Kodesh, V'asita Shnayim Keruvim Zahav Mikshata Seotam Mishnei Kitzota Kaporet V'asei Kruv Echad Mikatsa Mizeh U'Kruv Echad Mikatsa Mizeh Min HaKaporet Ta'asu Et HaKruvim Al Shnei Kitzotav. The mitzvah to build, to design, to sculpt golden kruvim. V'ayu ha-kruvim porsei chnafayim lama'ala, sochachim b'chanfeihem ala kaporet, ufneihem ish el achiv, ela kaporet yiyu pnei ha-kruvim. This mitzvah to build the kruvim on top of the Aron Kodesh, is mentioned here in Parshat Truma, but it also is repeated in Parshat Vayakel, and this is in Perek Lamed Zayin, beginning with Pasuk Chet. Kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, uchruv echad mikatsa mizeh, min hakaporet asei, et hakruvim mishnei ktsotav, vayihiyu hakruvim porsei chnafayim, lema'ala sochachim b'chanfehem, ala kaporet ufnehem ish el achiv, ela kaporet hayu pnei hakruvim. These two angel-like, these two child-like, winged figures to be placed on top of the Aron Kodesh. We are familiar with a question that is based on these psukim, and that is in our parsha and in Truma, and also in Parshat Vayakhel, the kruvim are described, as just mentioned, as facing each other. Ufnehem ish elachiv. What's strange is that in Divrei Hayamim, the Navi describes them as being different. If you take a look in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Bet, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kanfei HaKruvim HaEle Porsim Amot Esrim, Veheim Omdim Al Raglehem, Ufnehem Labait, says the Navi that there were Kruvim, of course, on top of the Aron Kodesh, Ufnehem Labait. Their faces were facing the bayit, and the bayit there is very clear in the context there. The bayit refers to the Kodesh, to the Heichal, to the first section, the first part of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan. And that seems to be a contradiction. In the Torah, it tells us, Ufnehem ish el achiv, that the two angelic-like, childlike figures on top of the Aron Kodesh, we learn in our Parsha and in Parsha of Vayakhel, they're facing each other. But in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, the Navi tells us that they're facing not each other, they're facing the Heichal. How can that be? And the Gemara tells us in Baba Batra, Daf Tzaditet Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks that exact question. In Truma, in Vayakhel, the Torah tells us that the Kruvim face each other, but in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Gimel, Ufnehem Labait. The Gemara says, again, Baba Batra, Daf Tzaditet Amud Aleph, Lo Kashya, there's no question. Kan bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. Kan bizman she ein Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. It depends. There was a miracle, an incredible miracle. These golden, solid figures changed, moved, depending on whether Klal Yisrael was osin ritzono shel makom. Osin ritzono shel makom. When we were, so to speak, doing proper good things and doing mitzvot and caring about each other, then ufnehem ish el achiv. That is an expression of osin ritzono shel makom, that we're looking at each other, that we care about each other, that we're helping each other. I care about you, you care about me. Something that you're lacking is a lack in me. And then they're going to face each other. However, chas v'shalom, when b'nei Yisrael is ein Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom, whenever we chas v'shalom are not doing the bidding of God, then we're not looking at each other. This is both a symptom and a cause. When we don't look at each other, we are not doing ritzono shel makom, we're not following Hashem's words, and we face away from each other, and then miraculously, the Kruvim will not face each other as well. We have to ask a number of questions in general about the Kruvim and about this Gemara. Question number one is, why would the Kruvim, of all things, why would they be the symbol of Bizman She Yisrael Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, or She'ein Yisrael Osin Ritzono Shel Makom? Why the Kruvim? Why specifically the Kruvim? We can also ask another question. The Kruvim, as mentioned in our Parsha, is where Hashem connects, so to speak, with Bnei Yisrael. The Torah tells us in our Parsha, Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Chav Bet, V'no'adti Lecha Sham, V'dibarti Itcha, Me'al HaKaporet, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, Asher Al Aron HaEdut, Et Kol Asher HaTzaveu Tchayel Bnei Yisrael. This is where I'm going to speak to you, says God. Whenever I speak to you, my voice, so to speak, is going to come out from there. And yet, it's incredible. They have an almost opposite message. They seem, chas v'shalom, to be literally idols in the Mikdash. They are angels with children's faces in the Mikdash. Don't we know the mitzvah that we know? Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna, asher b'shamayim mima'al v'asher ba'aretz mitachat, v'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz? How can it be? We had a speaker in Shalavim a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, the Sgan Menahel of Yeshivat Shalavim, who shared a beautiful idea about how the only difference between idols and the Kruvim is that one, God tells us are usser, and one, God tells us are mutter, are obligated. We have to follow Hashem's words. I'd like to explore that idea a little bit more, a little bit further. So far we have two questions. Number one, why would the Kruvim be the symbol of Bizman Sheyisrael Osi Natono Shel Makom? And question two, why would Hashem Davka specifically choose to connect to Bnei Israel, so to speak, through the Kruvim, or should say near the Kruvim, with the Kruvim? A third question comes from another Gemara. The Gemara tells us in the Masechet Yoma Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph the following phenomenal Gemara. Incredible Gemara. It doesn't make sense, seemingly. Amar Rav Katina says the Gemara. Rav Katina says, again, it's Yoma Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Katina. Bisha'a Shehayu Yisrael Olin LaRegel. Megalalin lahem et haparochet, umarin lahem et hakruvim, shehayu meurim ze baze, veomrim lahen reu chibatchem lifnei hamakom kechibat zachar unekeva. The Gemara tells us that some of the kelim used to be brought out when Bnei Israel, the hundreds of thousands of people, made Aliyah LaRegel on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos, the Bnei Israel used to be able to see certain parts, certain kelim. Some of the kelim, though, were not able to be brought out, but Rav Katina says that they used to move away the parochet, and Bnei Israel used to be able to see the kruvim. Beautiful! But what were the Kruvim doing? Says the Gemara in Yuma, Shayu Me'urim Zebaze. They were, you'll take a look at Rashi there. Rashi tells us they were Medubakin Zebaze. Ve'ochazinu Mechabkin Zeze. Kizachar Hachovek Etanakeva. They were hugging each other. This male and this female were hugging each other, and Bnei Israel were hugging. And says the Gemara that we used to say as we were looking at these kruvim, we would say Reu chibatchem lifnei hamakom. Look how much God loves you, kechibat zachar u'nekeva, like a man loves a woman, like a husband loves a wife. That's unbelievable that the kruvim, inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Beit HaMikdash, inside the Mishkan, we're hugging each other like a husband hugs a wife. And when Bnei Israel came to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim, they used to look at that and say, "Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you like a husband loves a wife." It's related to the idea of Shir HaShirim, a husband and a wife, Baruch Hashem, loving each other, that we know what it means to love somebody else, and in that way we'll remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and the way we're supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's amazing. That is the place. You want to say that idea, it's a nice idea, but you're going to show a male hugging a female kruvim on top of the Aron Kodesh in the Kodesh Kadashim. It's not only me who's asking that question. The Gemara later on, we read in Yoma Nundal Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Nundal Amud Bet says the following, Amar Reish Lakish, Bisha'a shenichnesu nachrim laheichal, Rachman alitzlan, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and then the Gentiles came into the Beit HaMikdash, what did they see? Ra'u kruvim hameurim zebazeh. They saw the two kruvim hugging each other. Hotziun lashuk. This is the Rachman Litzlan, the Churban. They took out the Aron Kodesh into the shuk. It's hard to even say these words. The Amru, and they said, Yisrael halalu, look at these Jews. Shebirchatan beracha v'kilatan klala. Bnei Yisrael, the holy Jewish nation, whose blessings are a blessing and whose curses are a curse. Ya'asku bidvarim halalu. This is what they've got in their mikdash. Miyad hizilum. They used to laugh. They used to make fun of Bnei Yisrael. Look how silly this is. Look how crazy this is. Bnei Yisrael, the holy Jewish nation. Look what they've got in their mikdash. They've got a husband loving, hugging a wife, a male hugging a female. And the Gemara even quotes a pasuk in Eicha from the first perek. Kol mechabadeha hi ziluha. all the people who used to honor them, he ziluha made fun of them, ki ra'u ervata, because they saw her nakedness. So the pasuk pshat of the pasuk is that, you know, when somebody is vulnerable, they saw Bnei Yisrael being vulnerable, and they were able to, and they made fun and they derided Bnei Yisrael. But the Gemara is doresh, ki ra'u ervata, they saw the erva, they saw the meurin, they saw the hugging of the kruvim. And one has to, it's a terrible Gemara, it's a terrible a message to hear and a message to swallow, but one can understand why they made fun of us. This is what goes on in the Mikdash? That this is what you've got on the Kodesh HaKadashim? This is what you've got on top of where the Luchot and the Shivrei Luchot are kept? You've got a Zachar hugging in the Keva? I don't understand. So we really have these three questions about the Kruvim, but the general question is, what do they mean? What is the symbol of these Kruvim? And why are they in the Kodesh HaKadashim? The Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim gives us a partial answer. The Mora Nevuchim in the third in Chelek Gimel in Perek Mem Hei says the following. I'm going to read the translation of Friedlander's translation that was written more than 100 years ago. It says as follows. It is clear, this is the Rambam Mora Nevuchim Chelek Gimel Perek Mem Hei. It is clear, says the Mor Nevuchim, I'm reading in his English translation, it is clear that the belief in the existence of angels is connected with the belief in the existence of God. And the belief in God and angels leads to the belief in prophecy and in the truth of the Torah, says the Rambam. In order to firmly establish this creed, God commanded the Jews to make over the Aron the form of two angels. The belief in, and continuing in the Rambam, the belief in the existence of angels is thus inculcated into the minds of the people, and this belief is in importance next to the belief in God's existence. It leads us to believe in prophecy and in the Torah and opposes Avodah Zarah. Says the Rambam, if there had been only one figure of a kruv, the people would have been misled and would have mistaken it for God's image, which was to be worshipped in the fashion of the heathen. Or they might have assumed that the angel was also a deity and would have thus adopted a dualism. Says the Rambam, I'm just paraphrasing, if there was one kruv, we would have thought, God forbid, it was God, or God forbid, there are two gods, there's God and there's a kruv. But, continuing in the Rambam, by making two kruvim, and distinctly declaring, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, Moshe, says the Rambam, Moshe clearly proclaimed the theory of the existence of a number of angels. He left no room for the error of considering those figures as deities, since he declared that God is one and that he is the creator of the angels who are more than one. The Rambam here in the Mor Nevuchim explains, and we understand a little better what the idea of having angels and why there are two kruvim instead of one. There is a God, of course, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That God commanded us to believe in angels, so to speak, in messengers of God throughout the world and throughout the universe, and also in Nevuah. However, the Rambam doesn't answer directly our questions. We understand why there were angel figures in the Aron Kodesh, in the Kodesh Kadashim on the Aron. But what about the issue and the question of the angels hugging? The non-Jews seemingly seem to be right. What place is there for them to be hugging like a husband and a wife in the Kodesh HaKadashim? To answer that question, we need to take a step back. And we say again and again that the Aron and the Kruvim were in the Kodesh HaKadashim. In English, we call it the Holy of Holies. What does that mean? What is the difference between Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadashim? How can you be more Kadosh than something else? Either you're Kadosh or you're not Kadosh. Either that is Kadosh or it's not Kodesh. How do you have Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadashim? Rav Kook has an incredible approach, which I think can help us understand the Rambam and understand the idea of the Kruvim in general. Rav Kook can be found in Orot HaKodesh Chelek Bet, Perek Yud Zayin, called HaKodesh HaKlali. If you have the Mosada Rav Kook version, it's on Daf Shin Yud Aleph. Again, this is Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook in his Orot HaKodesh Chelek Bet, HaKodesh HaKlali, Perek Yud Zayin. And again, if you have the Mosada Rav Kook version, it is Daf Shin Yud Aleph. Shin Yud Aleph. And says Rav Kook, Yesh Olam Shel Chol, V'Olam Shel Kodesh. There is a world, there is a universe, there is a concept of chol, what we'll call, I guess, profane, non-kodesh. V'olam shel kodesh. And there's also a world and a universe and a realm and an idea of kodesh, of holy. There's, and continuing in Rav Kook, olamim shel chol, v'olamim shel kodesh. There's many worlds, so to speak. I don't just mean planets, I mean within our world. Many things that are kodesh and many things that are chol. And says Rav Kook, ha'olamim sotrim ze et ze. These two worlds contradict each other. You cannot have kodesh and chol. You cannot have chol and kodesh. Either is or isn't. But says Rav Kook, kamuvan hastira hi sobyektivit. That contradiction is only subjective. Ha'adam behasagato hametzumtzemet, man, in his limited understanding, eino yachol lefasher bein hakodesh uvein hachol. We, as humans, as mortals, are limited, and we can't really make sense about the between. We cannot combine kodesh and chol. There is either kodesh and there's chol. You and I know that in our daily lives. This is holy, this is not holy. This is special, this is not special. This is important, this is not important. This is holy, this is profane. But that's only a subjective approach, says Rav Kook. Man's approach to the world, we're limited. It's the way we were created. But we have to know that it's not the reality in its purest sense. Again, going back for a minute, I'll read again and continue. Kamuvan hastirahi subjektivit. This contradiction is subjective. Ha'adam bahasagato hametzumtzemet eino yachol lefasher bein hakodesh uvein hachol ve'eino yachol lahashvot et stirotehen. He's unable, a man. We are unable to make sense of these contradictions. Ve'hein omnam meyushavot berum olam. But they are in the upper echelon, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the ultimate truth, they are, of course, the same, one and the same. We'll explain that in a moment. Where are they? B'machon Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the point of connection between the world of Kodesh and the world of Chol. It is the place where we see most clearly that Kodesh and Chol do not indeed contradict each other. They are both from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's true, there's no such thing, objectively, as Chol. Every single thing in this world, even if it seems to be secular, so to speak, even if it seems to not be holy, can be used in a holy way. Can be utilized for holy purposes. That is, and this idea is seen throughout our lives, and we have to appreciate that. We have to be able to take this world, food and money, physical possessions, and use them for Kodesh purposes. Obviously, you can use them for whole purposes. And this idea, this concept, can be seen, is seen, most clearly and perhaps only in the Kodesh HaKodashim. That is why, for example, the Ktoret was brought on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Ktoret is an incredible concept. The Ktoret, where we have so many spices that are brought and it smells sweet, and one of the spices is the Chelbana. The Chelbana had a terrible smell. A terrible smell. It was Recho Ra. It smelled terribly. Ah, but in the Ktoret, they can be combined. Ktoret, Katar, Kuf Tet Resh, is Kesher. There's the connection between the two. That we understand already. why we're able to bring the Ktoret in the Kodesh HaKodashim. This also might explain why it was only the Kohen Gadol who was allowed to go into Kodesh HaKodashim. Who was the Kohen Gadol? There's so much to say about the Kohen Gadol. But we'll say from the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Ched Amud Aleph, the Torah tells us in Parashat Emor, V'Hakohen HaGadol Me'echav, who's the Kohen Gadol? He's bigger, larger than his colleagues. What does that mean? The Gemara in Yoma Dav Yud Ched Amud Aleph says, Sheyehe Gadol Me'echav, he's got to be greater than his colleagues. How? Bekoach, in physical strength. Benoi, in physical looks. Bechochma, in wisdom. Uva Osher, in money and wealth. Since when is that valuable? The Kohen Gadol has to be wealthier than his colleagues, and if he's not, we've got to give him money. He's got to be strong, physically strong. He's got to look handsome, attractive. Since when are all these things valuable? They're valuable in the Kohen Gadol because he is the only one who can merge these two worlds. Other people, the way we view the world, we have a skewed view on these things. We look at a physical attraction and we look at it only physically. Money only physically. Physical strength only physically. No, the Kohen Gadol was able to merge these two, which is why the Kohen Gadol was allowed more than any other Kohen, was allowed to wear his begadim even when he was not doing the avoda. A regular Kohen had to take off his big day kahuna when he wasn't doing the avoda, but a Kohen Gadol can merge his regular life and his Beit HaMikdash life. Because the Beit HaMikdash and the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim remind us that this world, this is the whole idea of Parshat Truma and Tetzaveh and Kitisa and Vayakel and Pekudei. That's how we started the whole Shir to begin with. I have a Torah. God took us out of Mitzrayim. And he's involved in the world. And he's all powerful and he's all not knowing. And he gave me a Torah. Beautiful. And then he tells me, take that Torah and bring it into the world. Take that Torah and bring it into the world. V'asuli mikdash v'shochanti b'tocham. We as Jews do not believe in distinction between the way we live our lives and the way we live our physical lives and the way we lead our spiritual lives. The Torah involves us not only in the shul and the Beit HaKnesset or the Beis HaMedrash, but the Torah tells us, take it out of the Beis HaMedrash. Take the Torah to your workplace. Take the Torah to your where you make your money. Take the Torah into your dining room where you eat food that's so animalistic. Absolutely. And if you go to the bathroom, you say Asher Yatzar. And when you eat, you make a bracha beforehand and you make a bracha afterwards. It's a merging of the two. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. This idea, this merging, we see not only the Kodesh Kadashim, but in certain Gedolim, really know how to do this. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot tells us that Rebbe Yudah Nasi, was exceedingly, exceedingly wealthy. And he was friends with the emperor. That's the Gemara in Brachot, Nun Zayin Amud Bet. His Rebbe was so wealthy that his stable boy, the boy who worked in the stable, was wealthier than the king of Persia. That's how wealthy he was. And yet, you turn to the Gemara Masechet Ketuvot Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Take a look in Masechet Ketuvot Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that when Rebbe was dying. The Gemara tells us that when Rebbe was dying, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, the Gemara tells us that he raised his 10 fingers towards heaven. And the Gemara tells us that he said, Ribono Shel Olam, you know more than anyone that I have toiled in Yagati Be'eser Etzbeotai Batorah. I use these 10 fingers to learn Torah, Velo Nehenati Afilu Be'etzbektana. I used all my money and I used my wealth to serve you, God. We have the ability. Other religions take a look at money as being terrible. The holiest people don't have any money. The holiest people in their religions don't have any money, and the holiest people don't own property. And we as Jews say no, the Kodesh HaKadashim. We merge the two. We recognize that Kodesh and Chol are only artificial distinctions. And I can take this world and I can use it to sanctify God's name. I can work, literally get my hands dirty, planting, and yet when I'm done, shichacha, leket, and peya, and all the mitzvot atzluyot baaretz, bikurim, and trumot, and ma'asrot, I can take these, my physical, the dirt in my field, and I can do mitzvot with it. And this perhaps may be the answers to our questions above. Once we are in the Kodesh HaKadashim, once we are in a world where we recognize that nothing is profane, that nothing is chol, that it's only what we make of it. It can be bad, and it can be lowly, and it can even be disgusting. Or we can take these things and turn them holy. Then of course, even the love between a husband and a wife, that is Kodesh HaKadashim. When someone gets married, it is called Kiddushin, Kadosh. There's no curse words in the Torah. There's no bad word in the Torah. There are no topics that are off limits. There are no topics that are taboo. As long as it is done, spoken about in a proper way, in a Kodesh context. As I mentioned, non-Jews don't understand that. To them, Kedusha is the opposite of this world. Their holy people, as we mentioned, not only have no wealth and no property, they also have no marriage. And we say, no, there's gold in the Mikdash. We can use the Mikdash. We can use this world properly. And that is, in short, the idea being the Kodesh HaKadashim is the merging of these two worlds, and that is the merging of Shamayim Va'aretz, and that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses in the Kodesh HaKadashim, husband and wife, gold, angels, the whole thing, all the questions we asked. It is because it's the message being that we are placed in this world for a reason. V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, and V'asru Li Mikdash V'shachanti B'tocham, build a Mikdash in this world. Serve God in this world. The Kutzker Rebbe said, it's the end of last week's parsha, but the same idea, V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, Anshei, first be Anshei, Anashim. You have to be Kodesh, but Anashim, Anshei Kodesh. You got to live in this world, and you have to make a living, and you have to learn about the world, and you have to know what the world says, and you have to be able to contribute back to the world. Osek b'yeshuvo shel olam. Of course, you have to know where, you have to know how. We're not Kohanim Gedolim, none of us are. And we're not in the Kodesh Kadashim, none of us are. So obviously, in our world today, you got to be careful, and doubly careful, and triply careful, and quadruply careful of all the dangers of the world. And there are dangers of the world, and people who don't see that and recognize that are not being honest and are really not looking at the world with open eyes. But that's not the ideal. The ideal is to take everything in this world, everything physical in the world. Look how many halachot and look how many mitzvot there are about money and about how I treat your property and how you treat my property and all the mitzvot of marriage, a husband and wife, etc., etc., etc. These are mitzvot. They are kadosh. And that our job is to bring God's name and God's Kedusha and the real truth to this world. Slowly, 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 may we be zocha to witness the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, Mikdash, the Beit HaMikdash, with all its gold and with all its physicality. But Emir Tzah Hashem, we're going to raise up that physicality. Emir Tzah Hashem, in the service of God, b'mehera v'yameinu, have a Shabbat Shalom, everybody.